We are talking about what Christmas means to me. I want to start in Matthew chapter 1, and I've got a devotion coming out tomorrow. I've had two last week and one Monday, and then on Christmas Day I'll be sending out the Christmas story, and it's a lot of scripture. Sometimes families will read them to their family on Christmas Day. But in Matthew 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows." This is the New King James. "After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly or to hide her. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to you, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." When I think about the Christmas season, if you've been to town, if you've been to Walmart, J.C. Penney's, or wherever your favorite place to shop is, how many know it's like elbow to elbow? I mean, you can look at the Walmart parking lot, and especially in Rolla, and I'm sure it's that way in a lot of places, it's like everybody comes out to buy before Christmas, and especially the returns after Christmas. But when I think about Christmas, and I think about what's going on today in our society, the commercialism of Christmas, I think about how that it takes for you and I, faith in God to make it through the hard times, the difficult times, the hustle and bustle of our society. There's no way that anyone could not know that not only is our country in trouble, but if our country's in trouble, that also means that our people are in trouble. And one thing I know, that when we're going through a hard time, we need to remember this, that if nothing else ever goes right for us in this life, don't forget that we still have Jesus. Joyce Myers told a story years ago. As a matter of fact, I was with her in a meeting. I was one of the pastors hosting the meeting, and she was at a church. And she said this. She said there was a time where she had lost her family. She had lost her business. She had lost the job that she had. She had lost her what seemingly was her ministry. And she found herself sitting in the middle of her living room floor saying, "God, I've got nothing left but you." And then it dawned on her that if you got Jesus, you got everything. How many know that we came into this world with nothing? And the Bible says we're going to leave with nothing. But the reality is we have Jesus. And how many know that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother? I can't tell you how many times I've relied on that, because when you come from a family that's dysfunctional, or a family that's so spread out, then the reality is you better learn that you've got somebody on your side. The Bible says in John 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." How many know that we have never been asked to sacrifice our life for someone? Now, I know that I would sacrifice my life for my wife. I mean, just as an example. But in reality, we've not been asked to give up our lives for our family or for our home or for our city, our state, or our country, or for this world. But Jesus did. And Jesus came and gave up his life. And so what I've come to realize is this, that the only way you and I can move forward in life as believers is due to the fact that God sent his only begotten son. And that's what this celebration's about. Now, I like to celebrate Jesus every day, 365 days a year. But the reality is, God sent sent Jesus, who is the living Word, and He sent Him, and that one single act made it possible for us to have a real relationship with a living God on a day-to-day basis. So, in other words, I deal with this all the time, all around the world, even locally, and that's people that feel alone. That's people that are troubled with loneliness. And I understand that sometimes people that are single feel lonely. I understand when we've lost a spouse, we feel lonely. If family ignores us, we feel lonely. But the truth is, we're not alone. And you can't feel alone if you are not alone. It's a matter of a mental disposition. And so we all have to understand that we have a day-to-day, moment-by-moment relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what makes that relationship really work is fellowship. How many know that it's good to come to church? We get to talk. Sometimes we talk just in passing. It's a hi, it's a bye, it's a hug. But when we have a dinner or a time of fellowship, we really get to spend time together. And sometimes then we don't get to everybody. But what I'm saying is that Jesus is not on a waiting list for you to get to. I want you to know this, that the devil, wherever he is seated, is not omnipresent, can't be everywhere at the same time, so he sends his demons out to do his bidding. But God is able to be everywhere at the same time. That's so amazing. He is omnipresent. And thank God for that. He is omnipresent. He's with each one of us individually every moment, every second of every day. And the truth is, here's what I think. You may be a person that doesn't really wake up first thing in the morning. I mean, when I get awake, I'm not really awake. It's like, that's not the time this phone calls are best or whatever. But the point is this, that I'm always aware that Jesus is with me. I'm always aware of God. I remember those years that I spent, going through what I did. I was always aware that Jesus was there. I was always aware that God was with me. So today, and Wednesday, particularly the day that we as Americans on our English calendar have set aside the day to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the truth is we as Christians celebrate that day, and it even though it means something different to me, it can mean a little bit different to everybody, but the key factor, the central factor, has got to be Jesus. Jesus has got to be the center of our lives. And sometimes it means family getting together. I watch TV, as we all do to some degree. I watch TV and I see Christmas stories and family coming in and everybody having this great celebration and everybody's smiling and there's no problems. Everything's great. I realize that's TV. Okay. Those are actors. They have a script. They have a director. They have a producer. I get it. Sometimes it means getting together and swapping presents, sharing presents. Sometimes it means Christmas dinner. And how many know Christmas dinner? We all overdo it at Christmas, Thanksgiving, holiday dinners. But first and foremost, I'm just going to give you three things about what Christmas means to me. They're probably not the priority that everybody else's meaning of Christmas is, but it may just relate to a lot of people. So first and foremost, Christmas means being thankful for a Savior. He came to be my Savior. He came to be your Savior, the Savior of the world. Now, what is a Savior? A Savior, to me, is a rescuer. What have we been rescued from? We've been rescued from hell. I mean, we've been rescued from a bad life. I hear Christians that talk to me about how bad life is and don't realize what they got in Jesus. But when people realize that Jesus came to rescue them from a bad life and put their faith in that, how many know that it works? The Bible said in Matthew 1, verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." So for me, Christmas is about Jesus. A man, I'll not mention his name right now, but a man wrote a song called "Jesus is the Center of My Life." I wish I knew that song had the words to it. I hadn't been able to find it. But the truth is, He is the center. He must be the center. When I think about Christmas, even in our home growing up, we prayed on Christmas morning. We gave thanks on Christmas morning. But the truth is, sometimes we see Christmases, the kids wake up on Christmas Day earlier than any other day of the year, as a rule. Why? because we're going to open presents on Christmas. And but the truth is, we ought to say, you know what, let's just slow down. Let's just take a minute and think about the reason for the season, and let's give thanks to the Lord because of the gift that's been given to us before we proceed with other gifts. And that's just my take on Christmas and all of that. So I'm thankful for a Son of God that came. I'm thankful if he came to die for no one else, I know that he came to die for me. Now, I was a good little church boy, raised in church all my life. My dad was a pastor probably from the time, I guess when I was in kindergarten, he was my Sunday school teacher. And then I remember him pastoring his first church when I was about the second or third grade. And so that's pretty much all my life growing up. I really never had any major problems, didn't give mom and dad any real issues. I had a little bit of short rebellious spurt. Teenagers go through that, you know. But I was one that made a choice just to serve God. And so the truth is, I knew that Jesus died for me. How many know that's an individual thing? We all have to come to a place of knowing Jesus died for me. And it causes us, or it should prompt us, to have an attitude of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness. And so I'm thankful that Jesus died on the cross, not just for the entire world, but Jesus died for me. The angel of the Lord said to, spoke, and it said in Matthew 1, verse 20 and 21, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So how many know we've been saved from sins? The truth is, sin-ridden people can't get into heaven. Now, please understand this, that when a person leaves this earth, sin is no longer an issue. It's not supposed to be an issue now, but the reason why sin can't get into heaven, somebody said, well, you know that scripture in Revelation 21 or 20 that says how that there'll be no liars and no adulterers, and they'll all burn in the lake of fire with brimstone and so on. The reality is sin will decay in the earth, but people that how many know that we can blow it every day? We don't have to. Someone said, yeah, we sin every day. We can't get away. I disagree with that. We don't have to sin. We don't have to blow it. But if we do, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, who is the Lord Jesus, who pleads our case before him. Do you know what he does? I believe he shows him the blood that was shed, the blood that paid for the sins of the entire world. And so I'm thankful that Jesus saved us from our sins. Jesus was deliberately sent by the Father as a gift to mankind. This is where the giving of gifts began. I'm sure there was customs in the Old Testament. I know there was customs about the Christmas tree, and there's been a lot of debate about that. But the truth is, Father God gave his only begotten Son as a gift to humanity. And we're going to see shortly how that even the wise men came and gave gifts to Jesus. Someone told me, said, poor little Jesus, he had no place to lay his head. He couldn't even get a room to rent. He had to be put in the inn. He was so poor, so broke. And I want you to think about this, because when he was born, the Bible doesn't say that Joseph couldn't afford to rent a room in the inn. It said there was no room in the inn. Doesn't say he didn't have any money. That's not even the issue, but that's been made to become the issue. And so we talk about a God that wants us to be prosperous, yet people preach a poor God. And if we have a poor God, then we ought to be a poor people, but that's not the case. How many know one of the first things that happened at Jesus' birth, they brought him expensive gifts? Can you imagine what Joseph did? He went and started a family business. They were in construction, carpentry. Jesus worked in the family business. As a matter of fact, Jesus come to own the family home. They had a home. It's in Scripture, praise the Lord. And so, if he came on purpose to save us from our sins, to give us victory in life, so that we wouldn't have to go to a hell that was not created for humanity. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. That's all hell was created for. But if he did that, on purpose, and I want to live for Him on purpose. Amen? How many know we talk a lot about purpose, having purpose in our life? The purpose for me is doing what He did for me, my response to that on purpose, live for Him on purpose. How many know that He will stick with us like a brother? He will stick with us like a family member. What is that? That is the example of what a family member should be like. How many know all family members are not that way? We've seen, if you want to see dysfunctional families, watch a surreal program on TV. Dysfunctional. A mess. I mean, now that a lot of the old sitcoms are ended, people are dead. I mean, they have programs that come out now that talk about some of the messes they had. I mean, you talk about messes in life. But the truth is, Jesus shows us what family should be like. He is a brother that will stick with us. So even if this holiday season presents some disappointments from family or friends or circumstances, Jesus knows how to stick with you no matter what. And so I want to encourage you that regardless of the obstacles that come up in the next few weeks or in the next year, always stop and focus on Jesus. Amen. The second meaning of Christmas for me, we've already read this in Scripture, is that His name is Emmanuel, which is God with us. If He's God with us, then He's never going to be God without us. What I mean by that is we're never going to be alone. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For He Himself said," I love how that's worded, "He Himself said." He Himself said this. That's what the Bible says. He Himself said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so Jesus is the one who never leaves us alone, never abandons us. We deal with, in counseling, deal with people who have been abandoned by parents or abandoned by friends, abandoned by someone. Abandonment is a real issue in counseling situations. Jesus will never abandon you. Jesus will never leave you alone. I've heard people tell me, "Well, Pastor, I was a child and all of a sudden my parents left and they left me alone. They abandoned me." That's not Jesus. Amen. We focus so much on the human aspect of things because our emotions are tied to human situations. But in reality, there is a spiritual situation that should supersede all human situations, and that is that Jesus will never abandon you. He will stick with you through thick and thin. That means when it's good or it's bad. When things go like you want them to, how many know sometimes things don't go like we want them to? I can tell you the last couple of years, we have stood in faith for this ministry, and I can tell you in those couple of years, things have not gone like we wanted them to. We had plans. We had a vision that was way different. How many know, according to Habakkuk chapter 2, that if we stay with the vision will eventually come. Amen. One way or another, the vision will come. That's why we keep saying that quitting is not an option, but a change in direction is. Some things may have to change, and if they have to change, they have to change. And even though it didn't go like we wanted it to, Jesus is still Lord. So if life doesn't go for you, every aspect like you wanted to, let's narrow this down to a day. If a day doesn't go, I've heard people say, "Boy, if you had the day I had." Well, I've had probably some of the days that you've had. But here's the thing. When it's all said and done, when you're at the end of your day, even though it didn't get fixed, things didn't work out, you have Jesus and you can lean on Him. And guess what you can do? You can tell Him about your day and He'll not get mad at you. Have you ever told somebody, "Man, I'm just going to tell you about my day," and you told them about your day, and all of a sudden it has blasted you really good because all the negative, you're just negative. You can tell Jesus. You know, I don't want to be negative to Jesus. I want to tell Him what my day was like, but I want to use the Word of God. "Lord, this went wrong, but you know what your Word says, and He won't get mad at you." Praise the Lord. This quote from Hebrews 13:5 actually is a verse from Deuteronomy 31:6 and Joshua 1:5 that say about the same thing. And I love Joshua 1:5. It says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now I want you to understand something, that if when we look at the life of Moses, we see a great, awesome man of God. We see a man that could hold a stick out and the waters part. I mean, and everybody goes across on dry ground. The enemy following were just consumed. I heard someone make this statement, said that scientists have figured it out and said that the Red Sea was only about 3 feet deep. Well, you know what? It really doesn't matter if it was 3 feet deep, 9 feet deep, or 20 feet deep. The reality is the Egyptian armies was drowned. Amen? Praise God. So if you want, if science wants to say it wasn't very deep, that's okay with me, because that's even a greater miracle. Praise the Lord. And think about walking up to a bush that's on fire and hearing the voice of God. And so as God has been with all these mighty men and women of God we've seen in Scripture, and we've known in our lifetime, we've got their books and their CDs. As God has been with them, so will He be with us, because He will not leave us and He will not forsake us. Because God has made this promise, it is literally impossible for a believer to be left alone at any time. So I want to tell you, when those feelings of loneliness come on, rebuke them. Rebuke them and quote Hebrews 13:5, because it's a deception, a distraction from the enemy. Jesus was God who was fashioned as a man by being born of a flesh and blood woman. The third meaning of Christmas to me is that Jesus understands what we go through, and He shows us a better way to deal with it than our humanness presents, or our human perspective. In Hebrews 4 verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Now, when we talk about sympathy, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Empathy is, I understand what you're going with, I'm just not going to have a boo-hoo party with you. Sympathy means we're going to sit down and cry about it. I mean, I feel what you feel so much that I'm affected. But this, the Bible says we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. It doesn't say he will, but he can't. It doesn't mean he cannot sympathize, and then it explains what it means by that. For he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So all the things that we go through, Jesus also went through. But Jesus handled them. Isn't that amazing? Every temptation, every deception. I know that now they've got movies and they've got stories out about how Jesus was a homosexual, and Jesus had married, slept with women, and Jesus did all kinds of stuff. And it's just stupid lies. I was telling Brother Greg this morning all this stuff about Dynasty going on right now is just ate up the media, and just for saying and making a statement, a biblical statement of standing against homosexuality. And someone wrote an article and said, here's five reasons why this whole Duck Dynasty thing, we shouldn't focus on it, shouldn't support it. And one of those reasons was that we should love homosexuals. I agree with that, not the sin but the person. We should greet them. We should let them serve us in a restaurant. I understand that. We have a young man in town that we go to a certain restaurant. He is obviously, and there's probably more than one place, obviously all apparent reasons, you know, like the earrings, the eyebrows, the eyelashes, the makeup. Obviously. And we let him serve us. But what it said is, even though Paul addressed it in the book of Corinthians, we've gone too far now. The Bible really doesn't matter anymore. Well, yes, it does. Obviously, righteous indignation rose up and I addressed the situation. Of course the Bible matters. The Bible matters just as much now as it ever did. God still hates sin. God still hates the act of homosexuality. And people ask me all the time, can a homosexual get born again? Yes, they can. But they can't stay in their sin. We have to love them out of their sin. We can't preach at them and criticize them and put them down. We have to love them out of their sin. I've had many couples over the years who were come to church who were actually in sin, living in adultery. And I've been to churches where pastors would come to me and say, I've got three couples in adultery and they're serving in the ministry. What do I do? Set them down, get them out of the ministry, love them, work with them, help them, get them married. And I've had pastors actually say to me, would you do that for me? Well, sure, but what's the matter with you? Don't you know the word? So we love people, but we don't bless the sin that they're in. We love the people. And so there's a great controversy. Jesus faced all of that stuff. He faced all the ridicule, all the accusation, but he didn't do the sin. Regardless of what the media says. Regardless of what's being made up. So he's not only a savior to me, but he also understands my thoughts and feelings. You know, there's sometimes even as husbands and wives, we don't understand each other's thoughts and feelings. And, you know, there's no point in getting mad about it. You know, I've heard people say, well, he just don't understand my feelings. Maybe not. Maybe really we can't sometimes relate to a particular thought or feeling, a line of thought and the feelings associated with it. But really that's okay because Jesus understands. I'm trying to tell you this morning how to keep down division in our lives. The Bible said once again that he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without the sin that can go along with it. I mean, that's pretty cool. So Jesus is now, he wasn't before, but when he came to the earth and died for us, he is now both God and man who brings us the message from heaven, yet understands the feelings that we have down here on earth. Since his arrival, I wasn't there. People say, you know, I'd love to have lived back then. I wouldn't. I like living today. I love today. I wouldn't like wearing sandals everywhere, getting my feet dirty. I'm not that kind of guy. I wouldn't love walking those dusty roads. I would, just because Jesus was there, thank God for him. I have him. He's right here and he's right here. But, you know, people say, you know, I'd love to live. I wouldn't like walking everywhere, not having my car, living in some of the places. I mean, I went to Mexico and preached. They took me up into the mountains. Up in the mountains where white men don't go without an invitation. And these little short Indians that defeated the Spaniards way back when from taking their go. And they take me up there. There's one village I was welcome in, but there was four more up there that unless we got permission, it's like death waiting to happen. And I went to this place and the best building on the whole project was the mayor's house and it was the grass hut. So I really don't want to live back then. I mean, you know, thank God people want to live out in the jungle and, you know, the spiders and the snakes, and it's not for me. First year I moved to Missouri, we came here in 1979. And you know what happens about September? Spider webs form in the trees and the bushes. I mean, I thought, wow, I'm in heaven. We're in Missouri. There's jungle. There's hunting. There's shooting guns. Not like California. If you're shooting guns in California, it's like for self-defense. It's like some gang war going on. But man, we're in the country. This is so cool. And I'm running to spider webs and big old spiders like I'd never seen before. Everywhere it's like, I don't want to live back then. You know, thank God that we get to go visit the jungles or visit the places to preach, but don't want to live there. Thank God. I thank God for now and for all that Jesus did to provide for us in the now. But since his arrival as our Savior, becoming our Savior, the message of his life and teachings have been formed into what is now known as the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many know this? There's a lot of things being preached today, whether on television or in churches anywhere in any given place or any given time. But the message that needs to continuously be preached is the message of Jesus Christ. What Jesus did for us, how that relates to us in our day and time. As a matter of fact, I'm not a great prophecy preacher. I don't mind prophecy, don't mind studying it. Much of it I can understand. But I love to teach about what Jesus did so I can live victoriously now in this life. And the gospel says in Matthew 2 verse 2, the wise men said, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Many today not only do not worship him, but celebrate Christmas even for the wrong reasons, or at least some of the wrong reasons. For many, it's about everything I can get and nothing about what I can give. Now, thank God for our church. I love the people in our church. But the reality is people everywhere in the next few days, whether it's in the shopping centers, wherever it's at, it's a get what I can get as fast as I can get it and go into debt and all of those things. The truth is, it's about Jesus. If it's about Jesus and we really understand the message of Jesus, then it's about being thankful. I'm so thankful that he came. I want to tell you this. I wouldn't want to live in a grass hut somewhere out in a remote village in the woods somewhere, but I would rather have that and nothing else as long as I have Jesus. That's the thing that matters. So how much he blesses us and prospers us is also important, but it can't be our focus. Worshiping him should be our focus. So on the day that Jesus was born, for the wise men in particular, it was a long, hard journey that they made. They traveled long distances just to bring gifts and worship the King of Kings. Now, people tell me, you know, I really have a problem going to church. Well, that's okay, because here's what I think about it. It seems harder for people to go across town just to go and worship Jesus and celebrate his birthday in this time than ever before. I mean, it's like, I don't want to make the sacrifice. Well, can I tell you that gifts worth giving usually take effort? Isn't that right? And the wise men made an effort to give gifts to this newborn king. They knew the value found in the effort to come and worship him. I want to tell you that it does take effort to get up on Sunday morning or whatever night it is. How many know that after work is the time we'd love to crash? But how many know we'll go in and get cleaned up, we'll get dressed up, we'll come to church on Wednesday night. We put forth that effort. You know, we ought to put forth that effort in faith. Amen. And then we come to church, whether it's Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whatever night. We come to church and then, you know, it's like, I'm already tired. I got dressed up. Now I'm more tired. And the preacher won't let us just sit there and go to sleep. We got to worship. Are you serious? The effort to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has great reward attached to it. Hallelujah. We don't worship to perform. We worship to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you as I wind down this morning, why do you celebrate Christmas? Just think about that. Do you take on time to honor him on his day? After all, Christmas is his day. I mean, every day should be his day. But, you know, do you know we could have chosen June 25th to have the day for Christmas? I mean, we really could have chosen any day. But as best we can, based on Jewish calendars and everything that is so historically outdated now, the best we came up with was December the 25th. It's not always on Sunday or a Saturday when there's a day off. This year it falls on a Wednesday. Every year it changes. But we take that day, and even our nation, at least at this point, has respected that December 25th is Christmas Day, and it's the day about to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's like, and I've seen families do this. You don't have to do this. I've seen families do this. We've done it before, not always, but sometimes, actually made a birthday cake and lit the birthday cake and sang happy birthday to Jesus around the Christmas tree. You say, well, that's dumb. Well, the cake was good. Wasn't that dumb? No, it's not dumb, because we're actually going to an extended effort to say, happy birthday, Jesus, we love you. It's not about whether we believe in Santa or Claus or not, and there's no harm. Our leading psychologist today says don't take away, don't hinder the imagination, the developing imagination of children. It's not about that. It's not about the traditions. Christmas is about being thankful. I'm thankful. How many of you ever done, remember that old song said, count your blessings? I don't even remember how the song goes anymore. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Did you ever do that before? Just sit down and say, okay, what do I have to be thankful for? Well, here's one. Just write down a list. Number one, I'm thankful that I'm breathing. Do you know you could do that lying in a hospital bed somewhere? You could be thankful. But one of the reasons why people don't recover in health situations many times is because they're not thankful. They're grumpy, angry, upset about why they're there. Why did this happen to me? Well, who knows? People ask me all the time, don't you ever want to know why you went through what you went through? I say, no, I'm not going to waste my time trying to find out why everything went the way that it did. I'm here today, I'm alive, and so are you. I'm breathing, amen? So you can be thankful. Number two, I'm able to get up and walk around and take care of myself, amen? I mean, you could go on, the list could go on and on and on and on. But Christmas is about being thankful. Now let's do an example, build a scenario this morning as I finish. We'll do this in closing. Christmas morning comes. The tree's not set up because there was no money to buy any presents. Already discouraged. Christmas morning comes. You know it's Jesus' birthday. You know it's a time to celebrate. But it's like, I just really don't feel like celebrating. Nobody's coming over. Nothing going on. Nobody's going to call. No Christmas cards. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what people ought to do. Sit down right then and there and begin to give thanks to Jesus. Jesus, today is about you. Today is about you. I want to honor you. In life, I don't feel so good about what's going on. Things seem really bad. But, you know, Lord, it could be a lot worse. Amen. It could be a lot worse because there are people, I can't tell you the countless messages, even this morning, people begging for help. People that don't have food, people that don't have clothing, people are asking for used clothing. I can tell you it's a fortune to ship stuff to another country, but asking for just use the stuff that people would discard. Sit down and be thankful. I'm thankful, Lord, that I have clothes to wear. I'm thankful, Lord, that I have furniture to sit on. It may not be much, may not be new, but I have furniture to sit on. Thank you, Lord, that we have all the things we have and just begin to give thanks. Thank you, Lord, that the car runs. Thank you, Lord, that we have heat in the house. And just begin to be thankful. And, Lord, it's all because of your birthday. Because you understand, we're Christians. See, we're not Muslims. We're not Hindus. We're not Buddhists. We're Christians. And Christianity would have never happened had not Jesus Christ come and died for us. That's why Jesus is the reason for the season. I want to tell you, it ought to say Christ is the reason for the season. His Hebrew name is Yahshua, but his earthly name is Jesus. But being the Christ, Christ means anointed one in his anointing. So this is Christmas. This is the anointed season of God. Anointed for us to give thanks to God. Anointed us for us to receive from the Lord. How many of you ever just been in a place of worship, and as you were worshiping the Lord, it was as though heaven opened up and God began to minister to you? Now, what do you think will happen on Christmas? You say, but Lord, I don't have anything. You have Jesus. I was at the ICFM convention just a few weeks ago, and the pastor there saying, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. And that's an old song. I haven't heard it or sang it in years. But, I mean, would you really? Because when it comes down to it, we're in such a needy society, a gotta-have society, it almost detours people from being thankful, saying, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. So what does that mean? If I don't have anything, I've still got Jesus. I'm a winner. How many know that if you never had one financial blessing in your years of Christianity, you never had one healing in your life, in your body, in all your years of Christianity, you never had one moment of peace that you didn't learn how to access or whatever happened, but you knew you had Jesus and you were going to go to heaven, how many know that'd be worth it all? I mean, missing hell. I was sharing with someone recently, when I was a teenager, it lived in the country. My dad worked for a man who was actually in the history books. Him and his partner were team ropers, and my dad was the manager of the foreman of the ranch. And we would take our trash out back and burn it in a barrel, 50-gallon drum. I used to think about that. I'm here, I'm a teenager, and I'm already thinking about this. I take a single sheet of newspaper. Remember the big newspapers? You open them, you opened up, and you're about spread this wide. I take a single sheet of paper, wad it up into not a really tight ball, but in just a fair ball, and I would throw it into the fire, and I would think, if this newspaper had a voice and they were burning in hell, And I would watch the paper just begin to disintegrate and then into nothing. But yet in hell, it would never disintegrate into nothing. That paper, if that were a voice, would be crying, "Save me. I'm sorry, Jesus. Help me. Give me another chance." But none of those words would matter. So I know what I'm going to miss. Nothing. Because I'm not going there. But that's what the world don't understand. That's why we need to love the world, because Jesus loved us, in that God loved us and sent Jesus, and Jesus loved us enough to die for us. He's not only the reason for the season, but he's the best reason for the season. I mean, that's really what it's all about. The main thing should always be Jesus. Christmas morning, celebrate Jesus. Just take a moment. I love it when families pray together. Pray over the day. Pray for one another. You say, well, that don't take a lot of time. That's exactly right. It doesn't take a lot of time just to take a little bit and give thanks to the Lord. And then let the kids go nuts on the presents. We always did. You get one open, it's like, I can't wait to get to the next one. I don't even want to watch this. I already know what it is. Don't want to look at it. Don't want to play with it. Give me, give me, give me. How many know what I'm talking about? But first, slow them down. Take time to worship Jesus. How many know we as individuals can do that? Lord, I'm thankful. Don't have much, but I have you. And that makes me rich. Amen? Did you get anything out of this today? Praise the Lord.